You know, I'm sure that the message I heard was absolutely great last week, and I thank the Lord that he's brought somebody that came in and was able to minister and to fill the pulpit, but to be a blessing to you and the message that you receive. And I'm not sure, you know, just exactly what he did share with you last week, but I want to talk about the new year, but in a different way. Coming at it from a different angle. You know, when we talk about the new year, we also hear, well, the first of the year, I want to do this. Or the first of the year, we're going to go here. So we hear the word first of the year, meaning the new year. All of us in this room have dealt with firsts in our lives. Like, for example, the first time you rode your bike successfully without falling. It was a pretty exciting day, wasn't it? How about the first time you drove your car? Lois talked this morning about her grandson, who was 15, got his driver's permit. And we had also talked about somebody else that is driving at 15. And then how about your first kiss? Or your first job? Or maybe the first house that you bought? Or your first child? Better yet, maybe that first child's first words, or the first steps that they took. I got to thinking as I wrote that one, I could not wait for my daughter to be able to walk. But 2 weeks later, I'm like, you know? And I think we could all raise our hands and say, yeah, I've been there. You know, and like, what were you thinking that you wanted him to walk? You know, how many of us parents, well, mine can walk at 9 months, or mine can walk at 10 months, or whatever. Yeah, well, it's longer that you're chasing them, because, yeah, now they're expanding their world, and they're checking things out, because they're footloose and fancy free now, because they don't need us to carry them around anymore. So, yeah, it's got its blessings, but then again, it's got its challenges. Amen? How about their first words? We love when they say their first words, mama, dada, and, you know, a couple other words. But then and when they turn about 3, 4, 5 years old, you know, but we laugh about it now. But why do I say, or why do we get excited about firsts? Well, the thing about first is, the reason is we remember our first in our lives, it's because they're significant, because they're important to us. Or how about, it's the beginning of something to come. When we think about first, I'm going to drive, I can drive now, I can go here and there all by myself. I remember the first time I got my driver's license, my parents had, of course there's 12 of us, they had a station wagon. I really thought I was really big stuff when I was in that station wagon. And I could not wait to get in the car and go by myself somewhere. And I remember I was helping with disabled kids at the time, younger kids, that were homebound to some degree. And I remember taking 2 or 3 of them that I knew of, drove to their homes, picked them up, and took them to get ice cream. And I loved it. But after I got dropped everybody off, I decided I was going to do a little drag racing on the gravel road going home. And guess what I did? I caused a flat tire. Totally ruined the tire. And, you know, the thing is, when you're a family of 12, the last thing you need to buy is a tire for a car. So I had some answering to do when I got home. But it was my first time. That's why I remember it. So with that, we know that 2023 is the beginning of a new year. And in that, we know that there's going to be firsts. There's going to be firsts in this coming week, this coming month. We have these expectations when we come into a new year, right? Don't we? That's why a lot of people, millions of people, like to celebrate New Year's Eve. Because they have this anticipation that what was behind is going to be left behind. Some of it you want to leave behind, and you want to move on, and you want to start new things. Well, the Bible Concordance, as I was studying this, brings up the fact that firsts, there's 380 verses on firsts. There's 49 chapters in the Bible with these verses about firsts. So if that's the case, to God, firsts are a big deal. They're a big deal. An example of that would be Genesis chapter 1, verse 5. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. 1 John 4:19. We love because God first loved us. Now think about that. God made the first move. God made the first step to love us. Now, as I was writing this, again, if there's anything that you take from this today, this is the one thing I want you to take away with, and it's this. Our first purpose, and God bringing us to this earth is for this reason. Our first purpose for God to bring us here is so that God could love us. God first loved us. He didn't wait for us to love him. He first loved us. That's a first. He first loved us. That's our purpose for being here, so that he can love us. In Romans 8:29, it talks about firstborn. Jesus is the firstborn of the brethren. That's what it's saying in this scripture. Now, as I was thinking about that, Jesus is the firstborn of the brethren, I thought of my mom, Blanche Lutz, who was a family of 16, 17 kids. But she was the firstborn of that many kids. She was the firstborn. I think there was 8 girls and 8 boys. But she was the firstborn. And in that great expansion of God's family, Jesus was the firstborn. God sent the firstborn, his son, to be sacrificed for us. He didn't send an angel. He didn't send an apostle. He didn't send a prophet. He didn't send a preacher to the cross. He sent his firstborn son to be sacrificed to take and offer up him as an atonement for our sins. His firstborn son. In 1 Corinthians 15:20, it says, "But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those fallen asleep." Here's another first, the first fruit. Jesus was the first fruit of those who have fallen asleep. You know, a farmer would take the best of his harvest. When his harvest would come in, he would take his harvest, the best of it, a portion of the best of his harvest. He would go to the marketplace, and he would encourage people to eat, take a bite of it, of grain or wheat. And if they liked the best of what he had, he said, "Hey, there's more of that. There's more of that. There's plenty of that from where it came from. I've got plenty of it. If you want more, you know, this is how much I sell it for." And the customers, you know, that's the way you get customers. How many times, they don't do it so much anymore, but I'm trying to think of what store it is. Was it Walmart, or was it, trying to think of another store that did it, where you went into the store and they had somebody standing there and they would give you these little samples of like sausage or cheese or something like that. Walmart. Okay. So, you know, this gets you, entices you to want to have more of it, to buy more of it. Well, Jesus is the first fruit of God's eternal harvest. And, you know, some of us are watching The Chosen and we're seeing Jesus, you know, in a different, maybe in a different setting. He feels more personable to us than, you know, it's great that we read our word. But when we get this relationship with Jesus, we know that there's more to this first fruit of Jesus. There's so much, much more that he has to offer us. But the great thing is that God gave Jesus his first fruit as in an eternal harvest. In other words, this harvest that God gave us gives us eternal life. All we have to do is receive it. We don't have to work for it. We don't have to do anything but receive it. Believe it and receive it. In Psalms 34:8 it says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him." So when you're trusting, you're believing. So when you receive and trust and believe in that harvest that God has given us through his son Jesus, when we take that and apply it and use it, then we are able to be a servant and to work and do the things that God has called us to. God will do for his children just like he did for Jesus. And what I mean by that, he will call us out of the grave, just like he called Jesus out of the grave. Jesus, who was the first fruit, was called out of the grave. And when we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, that's what we get that same blessing, that same promise of God saying, "You belong to me. You belong to me." In Romans 8:23, let's go to that one this morning. Romans 8:23. And it says, "Not only but that, but we also who have first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body." So what it's talking about here is first fruit. God gives us first fruits of the Spirit. We all know what those are, right? Love, joy, peace, patience, meekness, kindness, gentleness, self-control. God gives us these. Now, some people think that these are like a burden or like, you know, it holds us down. But God doesn't give us those first fruits to do that. These are things, part of these first fruits of love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, meekness, and self-control. All these first fruits are the best of what God has for us. These are the best things. They're part of that harvest. But the great thing is, while we're here on earth, those are the things that we are blessed with, that God gives us. But great, get this, that love, joy, peace, patience, meekness, gentleness, self-control, those are just the beginning of God's eternal harvest for us. It's just the beginning. So that when we come to the Father, when we get to heaven, we just have a small taste of what God has for us there. This is just to entice us. This is just to entice us to receive all that God has for us. Not just here, but in heaven. And I got it right here. It says, "God, since God has given his best," which we know is Jesus, "to his children," which is us, we need to follow that example. We need to be examples of that type of giving, that type of sharing, that type of giving of our first fruits. But before we can do that, we have to realize this. I'm going to read it this way because I don't want to mess it up. A heart's change comes quickly on the heels of salvation. I'm going to say that again. Think about that. Listen. A heart's change comes quickly on the heels of salvation. How many of us, when we came to the Lord, when we received salvation, we were so excited. We were so excited to want to serve the Lord, want to get to know about the Lord more. We wanted to be obedient. We wanted to be like Jesus. We were so excited. I remember I was like on cloud nine when I received salvation because my heart changed on the inside. I was no longer focusing on the things of the world, but I was focusing on what God had planned, not my plan. And that's where this message is going this morning, that in this new year of 2023, we need to get our eyes focused off the things of the world and get our eyes focused on what God has planned. Yes, we have our own plans, our own ideas of what we want to do. And God can use those. But when we go to him first at the beginning of our year, at the beginning of our day, at the beginning of our week, and we go to him and we say, Lord, what is your will? What do you want? What direction do you want me to go? When we go with that, then God can bless it and God can use it and multiply it. Now, so it goes, I want to give you three steps here. Go first to God with your problems, your concerns, your fears, your doubts. When you're in that season, that's where we need to go first, is to God. But not only then, I have a song, and I think it's one Alice likes, God on the Mountain. God wants us when we're on that mountaintop, and we're going through, you know, a great season of where everything you touch prospers, or everything that's going on around you is just seems like it's just so glorious, and you just say, Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you. Not a day goes by where you're just like so appreciative of all of God has done for you. So God wants us to come to him in the valleys and on the mountaintops. He wants us to come to us all the time. In Matthew 6:25, it says, do not worry about your life, what you eat or drink, or about your body, what to put on. Because it goes on to say in verses 26 and 28 that God looks after the birds. He looks at the looks after the lilies of the field. He looks after all of those things. And if he looks after all of those things, he's certainly going to look after you. Because again, it goes back to we are his first love. He put us here for the purpose of loving us. So if he is taking care of the birds and the lilies of the field, because he loves us, he is going to watch over us. He's going to go before us. He's going to walk alongside of us. He's going to watch our backside. He's going to be there with us 24/7. God commands in Matthew 6:39, it says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That's God's promise to us. That if we seek him first, he says that he will what? Seek God first, his kingdom and his righteousness. All these things shall be added onto you. His blessings. His blessings. So when we go to God first, it's going to save us a lot of stress, headaches. It's going to save us a lot of heartache. We're going to learn to endure. We're going to learn to overcome. The moment that we find a situation that we're struggling in, the first thing we need to do is God first. God first. The second thing, honor God with your first fruits of your income. I talked about this a little bit when we did our offering. But in Exodus 13:2, it says, consecrate to me all the firstborn, whatever opens the womb among the children of Israel, both men and beast, it is mine. There's no maybes, if, ands, or buts about it. God says, it is mine. So, if a lamb was born first, you know, the first lamb was born, that one was given to the Lord. If a donkey was, a firstborn donkey, that was given to the Lord. When it comes to harvest time, the first was given to the Lord. When we have our children, what are we to do? We all know it here. We're to dedicate our children unto the Lord. Again, when they walk out that door, that doesn't mean that we give up or we just let them go. We continue praying for them. And I'm sure everyone in this room, be it your child or grandchild or niece or nephew, you know, if you know they're not going in the right direction, you're taking time out of your day. You're sowing a first fruit into their life by praying for them. You're standing in the gap for them. So, and with that, I have a grandson, like I said, I've told you before, that's really been struggling. This Christmas, I saw him for the first time in over 2 years, and he is doing much, much better, much better. I've never seen him look so good. He's got meat on his bones, and he's doing so much better. So it's standing in the gap. It might seem like it takes forever, and it might seem like God's not listening to your prayer for that particular person, but if you stay with it, God will come through. And I know God's not done with him yet. And I know God's going to do a great thing through him. Then there's our income, the first fruits, our tithes, our offerings. These first fruits, as I said earlier, are holy unto God. When we give in our tithes and offerings, and we give with the right heart, with the right attitude, God sees these gifts that we give in that plate, in that basket. He sees them as holy. Think about that. He sees our gift as holy, and He honors that. Just as God gave His first fruit for our sins, to atone for our sins, He gave His first fruit for us so that we could give our first fruits, so that we could enlarge through the financing of spreading the gospel, sharing the gospel, walking the gospel, that we are enlarging the kingdom of God. We're doing our part, but not only in our tithes and our offerings, in our time, in our relationship with each other. Our relationship is based with God on firsts. I'm going to say that again. I love the way it says it here. Our relationship with God is based on firsts. Because isn't that what God did? He gave His first. He gave His first. So our relationship is based on firsts. You know, if we find ourselves, you know, not just us, but maybe someone we know that is strayed from God, this is a time for us to come back, or it's a time for us to pray that they come back to their first love. Now you say, well, they don't believe in God. But that doesn't matter. Right now they might not believe in God. But the point being is God is their first love, because God put us here with the purpose of Him loving us. So no matter whether we believe that God is or isn't, God still is our first love. So when we pray for a person that has been lost and not sure, you know, whether God is real or that Jesus is the Son of God, we need to stand in the gap. We need to pray for them that they begin to experience the love of the Father, that they realize that God first loved them, no matter what they've said, no matter what they've done, that God loves them. Number three, another first. In Exodus 20, verse 8, it says, the Sabbath day is a holy day. Also, to some, it is also considered Sunday, the first day of the week. A lot of people see Monday as the first day of the week, but Sunday is actually the first day of the week. We observe the Sabbath by what? Gathering together, by worshiping, by fellowshipping with God, worshiping and fellowshipping together with prayer and hearing the message. And as Cheryl and I were praying this morning, the Lord laid it on my heart that, Charles, maybe you, when you're hearing the message today, something's popped out at you that really just really hit you. You know, it really got your attention. And yet, maybe Eleanor over here, and Eleanor will come up and she'll tell me after service sometimes, you know, Bonnie, when you said this in the message, it really made me think about this, this, and this. But it could be different than what you got out of the message. Or Mary, you know, she could, or Marilyn, she can think, well, you know, I got this out of the message. Or Tim, everybody in this room is going to get something different out of this message. And that's what Cheryl and I prayed this morning. That no matter what it is, if you're going to retain it, you're going to keep it, you're going to use it, you're going to apply that, whatever it is that you got out of the message today, you're going to use it. God brought each one of us here. He has a message individually for each one of us in this place today. He's saying, I know you're here, and this is the part of the message I want you to take a hold of and grab and take it and put it in your heart. And then once it's in your heart and you've stored it there, then you take it, and I want you to apply it to this person. I want you to use it over here in this situation. But I'm telling you, when you hear the message of God, it's not a one sermon that fits all in the sense of it being a whole message. There's little bits and pieces that God wants us, those pearls that God says, I have for you. I have these pearls, these nuggets that I want you to take, and I want you to use them. God has something to share with everyone that's here today. God does not want you to leave today empty-handed. He wants you to take part of the message today and put it and plant it in your heart. So if you want God to bless, as I talked about the Sabbath being the first day, if you want God to bless the next 6 days of the week, you need to first give him the first day of the week to worship him, to be devoted to him, to bring a sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. That's what he's wanting us to do the first day of the week, the Sabbath day. So that when we give him our first fruit, the first fruit of our week, when we do that, God says, you know what? I want to bless them the next 6 days till they come back again. And then I want to keep blessing them. I want to keep blessing them. I want to keep showing them that I'm there and I'm faithful. Now I want to share a story. It's about this Texas rancher who attended the same church decade after decade after decade. And after decades, he started losing his sight and he started losing his hearing. But every Sunday, he'd come up and sit in this first pew every single Sunday. And this young kid came up to him after service one time and said, Sir, why do you keep coming to church? You can't hear no more and you can't see. Why do you still keep coming to church? That rancher looked up at him the best he could, and he said, I don't come for just me. I come for you. Sometimes coming to church is not so much about what you might receive, but what you might give. You might give an encouraging word. You might see someone sitting by themselves, and you go over and sit with them. You might see that another person needs prayer. Isn't that what we did this morning with all these prayer needs and praise reports? We joined our faith together. But we're here. We're here together in unity and one accord, praying, standing in the gap for those that aren't here yet. Hear what I said? Yet? But they are coming. Don't say that they're not here without adding yet, because when you say yet, you're speaking faith. And when you speak faith, God hears it. And when God hears your faith, God fills that space. That's why you're here. And when we stand together and our faith is put together, we can move mountains. We can do things that, you know, I just got through watching the season 3, I think it's episode 4, where Jesus sends the disciples out 2 by 2 to heal and deliver and set free. You can't miss that episode. It is amazing how God, you know, when Jesus tells them, you're going to do greater works than I, that doesn't just pertain to the apostles. That pertains to you and me, that we can do greater things than even he did. Sometimes coming to church, again, is not about us, but it's about others that need us. Most people who grow cold in their faith, it's gradual. It happens inch by inch. Over a period of time. They're not even aware of it. But the first fruits that I talked about this morning, that helps discipline us. It helps keep us on track. It helps us stay focused. Those fruits of the Spirit aren't there to weigh us down. They're not there to burden us. They're there to discipline us, to get us in a better position so that we are able to receive what God has for us, that we are able to receive the blessings and the favor that God has for us. In Proverbs 3, verses 9 and 10, it says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops, then your barns will be full, and overflow, and your vats will brim over with new wine. So as we put God first, the blessings begin to flow. Let this day, let this very day, be the first day of the rest of your life, where we focus on God's plan, focus on God's purpose, we focus on God's will. Amen? Amen. We're going to go ahead and start communion, and as she gets ready, I just want to share something with you as we start communion. Satan's scheme to kill the Son of God was defeated on the cross that was designed for Christ by Satan. It was defeated on the cross. And Satan knew that the death of the Messiah, if he had only known that the death of the Messiah would mean death for him and life for us, he would have never, ever tried to kill or crucify the king. Satan never saw it coming. But the great thing about communion is, this is why we have communion. Jesus not only wants us when we take communion to remember, to put us in remembrance, but guess what? Communion is a celebration time that we were given the victory because of what Christ did for us. So today as we take communion, not only let us remember, but let us celebrate what Jesus has done by taking our place on the cross. Amen? Amen. So if the servers want to come up, and we will go ahead and start our communion. Jesus took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he had broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body." Then he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he had said, "Drink, drink from it. This is the blood of my covenant, which was poured out for many for the forgiveness of sin." This Sunday, also, we have our care offering. I would like to pray over that offering. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we not only have the opportunity given our tithes, but that we have an awesome, exciting moment of giving in our offerings, an offering unto you, Lord. We know that it will be a blessing, and it will touch many lives. So, Father, we just thank you for this opportunity to give in this care offering. In Jesus' precious holy name we pray. Amen.